God is so good, ain't he? English teachers wouldn't like that, would they? Isn't he? Oh, wait. The Lord accepts it however it is, right? Whether we say, isn't he, or ain't he, or just he is. All the time. Thank you, Lord. The title, now we was talking about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord. He's called a lot of different things, names in the Bible. But that's who we've been talking about. And a little bit of the gifts of the Spirit, and we might mention some of those this morning. But the title this morning, I'm going to call this Jesus, Humility, and the Holy Ghost. Now, before we get started, let me say this. I believe, and you have to remember, I'm not just talking to the people in this room. We're on Facebook. We have an internet ministry. I mean, people listen to us over in Israel, Cambodia, all over the world, people are listening. So everything that I say, is he's not just talking to everybody in here specifically. But I believe some of the things that the Lord is going to have me say this morning may have to tweak our thinking a little bit. How many knows when you're flying an airplane, you don't make sharp adjustments? You just make them slow little adjustments all along the way, because if you don't, you could be headed to Florida and make it to Hawaii, right? I believe that's some of what he's going to do this morning. And some of us, we may have to lay down some things that we thought. Thank you, Sandy. I'm glad one of us got, or two of us got it. How many know sometimes you have to lay down what you think you know, to find out what you didn't know that you can come to really know? How many knows that you need to be praying for your surgeon? If you're going to the hospital, you need to be praying for your anesthesiologist, right? It'd be in your best interest. How many knows that the Holy Ghost, he can do surgery on you and heal you at the same time? You go to the hospital, you get surgery, the doctors can't heal you, right? But if we'll let the Holy Ghost do what he needs to do, take things out of us and put things in us, then he can heal us and we'll be what? We'll be whole, right? So, Jesus, humility, and the Holy Ghost. If you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Now, some of these verses I'll read throughout what I'm going to talk about this morning. Some will be in the Amplified, some will be in the King James, some will be both. Beth will put them on the screen if you don't have the Amplified version of the Bible. You can write it down, go back, read it, study it for yourself. Somebody knows you shouldn't just take somebody else's word for something. Because I got 45 minutes, you know, where you got however long you got, you can do in-depth study on different things. I kind of have to hit the highlights and move on. But here in Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Now, Jesus had been talking to them about judgment and unrepentance and all that. Here in verse 25, he says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father." So he's not talking to people, right? He's praying, talking to the Father. "Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them," what? Revealed them. You can't see something unless he reveals it. Right? It says, "And revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." God always does what seems good to him. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except or save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will" what? "Reveal him. He said, come unto me," talking about himself, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I've heard most of the time, people trying to get people to come to the altar to be born again. How many knows you can be born again and be heavy laden? Been there, done that. But he goes on and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden," he said, "and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." When you get born again, you don't automatically just know everything about him. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, He says, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now listen to 29 and 30 in the Amplified. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we're going to learn of him, we're going to have to walk real close to him, right? He said of himself, he said, no man, he said, any man that follows me, he said, you won't walk in darkness. We are to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? And that's how we see light. That's how we get light. We can't see or get light on our own. But anyway, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we're going to have to spend time with him, right? He said, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. He says, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. He says, for my yoke is wholesome. It's useful, good. It's not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. But it's comfortable. It's gracious and pleasant. He said, and my burden is light. He said, and my yoke. He said, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. There was something that came up to me this morning the Holy Spirit reminded me of. I have done it. Had to repent of it. Stop doing that. If we ain't careful, there's sometimes we try to use the Word of God to one-up one another. Y'all didn't hear what I said. You ever done that? You take the Word of God and you cut somebody with it. You slice somebody with it. He said, I'm not like that. If you're hard and you're harsh, don't ask me how I know. He said, I'm not hard. He said, I'm not harsh. He said, I'm very gentle. Right? Then if he is, if we're his students and we learn of him, then we become too, right? Maybe not overnight, but a little bit at a time. As we open up our hearts to him and we spend time with him, right? And we learn of him how he is. And we let him on the inside of us. The Bible said it's God that works within us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But how many knows he works in us and with us? He cannot and will not do anything in me that I do not allow him to do. I have to cooperate with him. The Bible says we are co-laborers together with God. But there's some people thinks if God wants something, then it'll be done. If God wants me changed, then he'll change me. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says over there in Galatians 5:22 through 24, where it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? When you read that in the Amplified, it says, the works that the Holy Spirit does. But how many knows, if I'm saying something to somebody and he says, be quiet, and I keep talking, how many knows that fruit's not going to be worked in me? If I'm doing something, he tells me, that's not love, Teresa, and I am love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. He doesn't have it. He is it, right? So if I'm doing something and the Holy Spirit says, that's not love, what do I need to do? Instantly, I start working on the change. If I don't, why? That fruit, when I got born again, it's in there, but it came in seed form. It has to be developed. It has to be yielded to. It has to be worked on, right? With the leading of the Holy Spirit as we cooperate with him. Kind of like working out a muscle. I'm reminded of Travis when he was a teenager who had this workout bench on the back porch and he'd walk by it and he tried to confess some of the words, you know, like it's really going to come like that. He'd walk past it, look at it, I'm telling you, my muscles getting bigger. And Samantha, he stayed the same string bean that he always was. Why? It's not in your confession. See, some got this wrong. It's not in you confessing the word. Faith is not in confession necessarily. Faith must be in the heart. Then when the confession comes forth, because the faith is in the heart, right? Because you heard him, then things happen. So we have to come and we have to learn of him. But he noticed he said there, he said, I'm humble. So if he is, we must become. And that is the will of God, right? For us to be like him. He said, you won't be greater than your master. He said, but you will be like your master. But how many knows that's up to me and you, us working and cooperating with him. And humbleness is, nobody can humble you and make you humble. Humility comes when I choose, or you choose, to submit yourself to another. See, a lot of people think that submission is agreement. That is not at all submission. Submission is, I don't agree with you. I don't like this. I don't want this. I don't agree with this. But yet at the same time, I choose to yield my will to your will. Is that not what Jesus did in the garden when he's over there praying? See, he went to the cross before he actually ever got to the cross. He's over there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying and he says, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Right? So that tells me, without him saying all of that, I'd rather not do it this way if we could do it another. Ain't that basically the way we might would say that today? But what'd he say? Nevertheless, not my will. I bring my will to do your will, O God. Ain't that what he said he come for? Then that's exactly what me and you have to do today. We have to do that to people. Wives have to do that to their husbands. Woo, we're preaching now, ain't we? All y'all men should have said amen right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Sandy, you know as well as I do, Robert can't make you submit. Absolutely not. I do it by an act of my will, whether he's right or whether he's wrong. Amen? So we're going to humble ourselves. Let's go on here to John chapter 5. Let's see some more stuff that Jesus said. I didn't say this of him. He said it of himself, right? He said, I'm telling you how I am. And if you're going to be like me, then you're going to do what I do, right? John chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in, I'm going to read verse 30, then I'm going to skip down to 36. Like I said, I don't have but 45 minutes. But let's see, 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do how much? Let's say that again. Jesus said, I can of my own, now you're talking about the Son of God. The Word of God. Right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, right? And the Bible talks about how he put on flesh and came down here and he dwelt among us, right? But see, he's not doing this as the Son of God. He's sinless, but the Bible says, I believe in Philippians, he stripped himself of everything of being God. All glory, all power, all authority, all dominion, and came down here and was born of a woman just like me and you. He did all of what he did as of no fair an advantage to me and you. And we have to do it exactly like he done it. Right? So we need to start telling ourselves and the Father, Father, my will, help me, Holy Ghost, that my will, O God, is to do your will and your will only. That I lay down everything that I think I thought I knew. I lay down every agenda that I have. Jesus didn't have one, did he? Except to do the will of the Father? Sandy, I've had a lot of agendas. I'm having to start coming to this church with no agenda. See, I guarantee you, if you asked every one of us in here, we came to church this morning, if we had expectation at all, and we had an expectation of God's going to do this. God, we want you to do that. Gosh, we're getting really quiet. How many knows the thing for us to do is to hear? God, y'all quiet. Hear. What does the Father want to do? What does everybody need for him to do? It's not about what I want him to do. It's not about what I think I need him to do. But it's all about what is he wanting to do, because he's always wanting to do something. So I have to lay all of that down. And in order for me to hear Johnny, I'm going to have to spend time with him more than 5 minutes. Jesus told the disciples, he said, come pray with me. What was it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or anyway, three of them that he took closely with him when he went to the garden. He said, stay here and pray. Why? He said, that you enter not into temptation. One reason could be a key reason why a lot of people's entering into temptation, because they ain't doing much praying. And then he come back and they're asleep and he said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? And I'm not telling you to pray an hour. That's not up to me. God forbid I tell you to pray an hour when the Holy Ghost is telling you to pray five. That's not my job. But I read in the Bible where it says that Barnabas, Simeon, and the Apostle Paul and some others, they was in a place in the book of Acts. And they was fasting and praying, and the Bible says they was ministering to the Lord. You know what? I know good and well they didn't say, woo, Paul, I fasted 5 minutes. Can you fast for 5 minutes? Really? Y'all think with me. Come on, y'all gonna help me with this or not? See, I can't go beyond what you will receive. Utterance is greatly affected by the hearers. Right? Jesus himself said that when he went to his own hometown, they did what? They shut him down. He's healing the masses, demons cast out. But when he come to his own hometown, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And the Bible says all he could do there was lay. He couldn't speak the word. He had to lay his hands on a few sick folk. That's all he could do. So y'all going to have to help, right? We're all in this together. Because see, if we want him, then we do things the way he says to do them. That's how Jesus got done what he got done. So that means I gotta wipe myself clean. Holy Ghost, wipe me clean of my own agenda, my own thoughts. Everything. Johnny, I don't even know what I need. The Bible talks about how the heart of man is deceitful above all things. There's been times I thought I knew what I needed and start to do that, and the Holy Ghost said that I was going to fast because I'm having a problem with my flesh. In an area, this mouth getting out of control and talking ugly, not cussing, but talking ugly, hateful to people. And I thought, God, I need to fast. And I'm fixing to go on a fast. And the Holy Ghost, he tells me, he said, you need to yield to love is what you need to do. How many knows? He knows more than I do. I can think I need something, but he knows what I really need. And in order for me to find out, I've got to spend time with him. It's actually pride and arrogancy for me not to pray and spend time with him because I'm acting like I don't need it. Are you serious? I read where there is time, numerous times, that the Bible says the Son of God himself, but he came as a man, he prayed all night long. The night before he picked the 12 disciples, handpicked them. He had to have the right ones, too, because their names are wrote in the foundation. Right? Y'all read the book of Revelation? The apostles' names is in the foundation of that city. He had to pick the right ones, and the Bible says he spent all night long praying. I don't think he was begging either. I believe he was communing and fellowshipping with the Father. Let's go on here and read this before I get beyond here. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. So if Jesus of him own self can do nothing, how much can you do? How much can I do? Nothing. I can't heal a gnat. I can't give myself a word of knowledge, much less anybody else. Right? Of my own self. So what's that mean? I got to spend time with him. I got to hear what he's saying. And when I hear him say it, act on it and do it. Faith without works is dead, right? But you can't have faith for what you've not heard. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And when you look that up, it says the Christos word. That doesn't mean this written word. It means, this is logos, it means the word he's quickening, or he's speaking to you. I'm reminded, Scotty, we haven't been saved too long. I don't know how long, maybe a year or two, if that long. But anyway, he's reading the Bible one day over there in Timothy where Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. And Johnny, when he got right there and read that, do the work of an evangelist, the Holy Ghost quickened that to him. And I'm telling you, he went out rounding up people. Boy, he's going to the jail. He's going to the street. He's going to the jail down there. You know why he had an anointing to do that? Why? Because he heard. He had no faith to do that work of an evangelist until the Holy Ghost said. Neither do we. We must hear and we must do. See, a lot of people, they like to take this Logos word and just pick out what they want. Oh, y'all come on now. Every one of us in here, I'm sure we got our favorite scriptures. And we'd like to stand on and use that one every time. Because then, Sandy, we don't got to spend time with him. We can just start quoting some word. Oh, y'all getting quiet. And then it don't work. Why does it not work? Because, see, you really don't have faith. It's some of that fake junk. The Bible calls it feigned faith. When you look it up, it sounds like faith. Right? Looks like faith, but how many knows? Faith in the heart. And if you're going to really have the faith of God, you got to hear something. Kind of like Scotty, you know, I reminded me this morning. His brothers, Glenn and Eddie, used to tell him, you know, about the Lord and stuff like that. From time to time, he had worked with him and all of that. And they'd tell him about Jesus and different things. Jesus loves you and all of that, you know. And then within that day, and it meant nothing to him, Johnny. He ain't trying to hear all that, you know. He ain't trying to be no Christian, no talk to me about Jesus. Oh, but there come a day when he's got the picture albums out and his life has fell apart and he's come to the end of himself that he's figured, I can do nothing. And the Holy Ghost caused him, brought back to his remembrance. He heard their voices. Did you not? They wasn't there. But the Holy Ghost brought back to his remembrance their words. Jesus loves you, and whatever else he spoke to him. And when he heard that, faith came. And when faith came, he acted on it and he said, God, if you're really real, like they say you are, come into my heart. Help me. See, some people think you got to say a certain kind of prayer. No, just be humble enough. Right? Because he hears the heart. It's not in our eloquent words. It's not in how much we can quote the scriptures. Because Jesus told him, he said, you search the scriptures. He said, for you think in them you have life. He said, but the life is in me. My life is not in this written word. It's in a relationship with him. And then when I spend time with him, he makes this written word come alive. Then when I act on it, when I say it, it happens. When I act on it in my doing, it comes to pass. But Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. We can't either. Notice what he says. He says, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Notice this. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That must be what we do. Now I'm going to start reading in verse 36, and I'm going to read these in the Amplified. Because he starts talking about John the Baptist testifying of him. But here in verse 36, he says, but I have as my witness something greater. Talking about greater than John the Baptist. Weightier, higher, better than that of John. For the works that the Father has appointed me to accomplish and finish, the very same works that I am now doing are a witness. That sounds like Acts 1:8, don't it? He said, you'll become witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right? He's saying the same thing about himself here. He says, they are a witness and a proof that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Not one of you has ever given ear to his voice or seen his form, his face, what he is like. You have always been deaf to his voice and blind to the vision of him. And you have not heard his word, his thought, living in your hearts, because you do not believe and adhere to and trust him, rely on him whom he has sent. That is why you do not keep his message living in you, because you do not believe in the messenger whom he has sent, talking about himself. He says, you search and investigate and pore over the scriptures diligently, because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them. He says, and these very scriptures testify about me, and you, and still you are not willing but refuse to come to me so that you might have life. He says, I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. Let me go back for just a second there on that. I wanted to make a comment here. A lot of us, and we should. I don't know about y'all. I believe most of y'all do, if not all of you. Listen to preaching every day. Y'all remember that Mark 4 that we did? And how that the word comes, we need to water the word, right? By hearing the same word and different things like that. Don't let that take the place of spending time with Him. Don't let thinking, because I read my chapter today, or because I listened to Creflo Dollar today, that's it. Because reading your chapter and Creflo Dollar without an intimate relationship with Him will do nothing for you. See what I'm talking about, tweaking our thinking? Because see, we can start out right and start getting off just a little bit. Because the devil is always, if he can't get you off the road, he'll try to get it a little to the left or a little to the right. But how many knows the Holy Ghost will keep us on the absolute straight and narrow if we'll listen? It's what he does, one of the things. So make sure you don't let that happen to you. Where am I at? That's John 5. I'm over here in John 6. I thought, man, that ain't looking right. Jesus, he said, I receive no glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. How many knows we can't either? And let me tell you something. The flesh likes it. I don't care how spiritual you are. Anybody in here, their flesh wants somebody to come. I'm telling you right now, you did not hear from the Lord and start dogging you out and telling you how bad that was and how anointed you wasn't. Y'all like that? Absolutely not. But just as we don't like that, don't like it when people start coming and telling you what a good job you did. Or how anointed you was. Or how much that helped me. Because they will and they should. The Bible says, let another man's voice praise you. Not you, your own. And make sure, and see, we understand. I've done that to Brother Brad. I mean, baby Christian, you know. Just be so thankful of what he had meant and done and helped in my life or whatever, you know. But I never told him thank you and all that one time that I ever felt. He was like, yeah. When you've tried the rest, come to the best. Help us, Jesus. I heard Kenneth Hagin tell a story one time about this guy. That boy, he was anointed for altar calls. They was pastors that would call him in. They would do the sermon and all that, and they felt led to, and it was right. And they would call him up there, and he would do the altar call, and the masses. The Holy Spirit would begin to move when he got on the altar call, and they would come to the altar and be born again. Well, Kenneth Hagin and him and some others was standing there one day talking after the service or whatever. And he said this came out of the guy's mouth. They was talking about it and everything. And said, he said, if I can't get them, nobody can. And Kenneth Hagin said the Lord spoke to him at that instant and told him, said, watch him from this point forward. He's going down. Because see, the Holy Ghost doesn't glorify and magnify me and you. And that's a testing of the spirits too. What he talks about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and over there, and I believe it's in 1 John, it says, test the spirits. He's not talking about Jesus. Somebody can't say Jesus is Lord. You can tell a drunk on the street, I'll give you 20 bucks if you'll say Jesus is Lord. Hey, you say it. But what he's talking about, when them gifts are in operation and somebody is saying they're speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it's listen for what that spirit is saying about Jesus. Because he says, Nobody will ever be able to call him accursed or say bad about him when they're speaking by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's a nugget. Keep that. Because these things are going to be happening in here. And we need to know. Right? Let's go on here. Help us, Lord, that we don't want to seek him. Let me finish that up. And listen, this is something you got to work on. Because, see, I knew this, and I'm not talking about recently. This has been a while. I knew this, and I would say, you know, I would never, God, try to seek glory or take glory for anything you've done. You know, and God give you something and use you while you're up here or whatever to minister, and he ministers to people. I can't do that. But he does or whatever, and then they say, boy, that was good. That was just what I needed. Oh, it wasn't me, sister. It was the Lord. Go back there and get in the bathroom. Oh, thank you, Lord. That was so, I did do good, didn't I, God? Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about me. I didn't mean to. But see, that feels good to the flesh. I mean, it's we must deny the flesh. Because in me, I can do nothing. In you, if anybody ever gets anything, a revelation, anything, he done it. And we can thank God. Thank you, Lord, by your mercy and your grace, God, you used us. All we are, God, is a vessel. But thank you, Lord, you used us. We quiet, and that's okay. I told you, let him do the surgery. He says, but I know you and recognize and understand that you have not the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name and with his power. And you do not receive me. Your hearts are not open to me. You give me no welcome. But if another comes in his own name, what? And his own power, and with no authority but himself, you will receive him and give him your approval. How is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another. The Bible says don't even compare ourselves one to another. Right? If you've got anything, it's because God gave it to you. If I have anything, it's because God gave it to me. And if I don't have it, it's because he's not giving it. And yours is not better than mine. That's kind of like people trying to take credit for the way they look. If anybody thinks you're good looking, you can thank your mom and daddy. What did you have to do with it? Johnny, did you pick your hair color? No, I'm not talking about you dyed or anything. I'm talking about natural, okay? Did you pick your hair color? Did you pick how tall you are? Did you pick what color you are? Did you pick the shape of your teeth? Or if your ears are even or uneven. Scotty, did you pick your ears to be uneven? Who can you thank for that? Your mom and your daddy. Them two got together and bam, you popped out. Help us, Lord. He goes on and he says, you who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another, and yet you do not seek the praise and honor and glory from which come from him who alone is God. That's the praise and honor and the glory that we need to seek. On the inside. See, I can't determine whether I did a good job or a bad job by you. Whether I did the will of God or I didn't do the will of God by you. You might not be in the spirit today, little Christian. So, hey, I hate to tell you. And sometimes every one of us can be more in the spirit today than what we was yesterday or less. So I can be right on it. And you not. I tell you right now, she wasn't anointed today. She must have not have prayed and fasted this week. She must have laid on the couch and ate some donuts. No, why didn't you did? And I'm not going to accept that of you. I'm talking about all of us. Or I can be off. I can miss it. And you can be in the flesh and I told you everything your little itching ears wanted to hear. Right? Don't the Bible say they'll heap, in last days, they'll heap to themselves having itching ears that'll tell them everything they want to hear? I can be off of it and you can come and tell me what a great job I did and how anointed I was. I can't listen to none of it. you better not listen to none of it. You know on the inside when you know Him if He is well pleased with you or He is not. And that's all you better ever learn to go by. Because if not, when people think you did a good job, you'll think you did a good job. When they think you did a bad job, you'll think you did a bad job. And it's all a bad job because, number one, you think you're doing it. The Lord is preparing us for where He's fixing to take us. Why would He be talking to us about all this being humble if He wasn't fixing to do some stuff? Why would we need it? We always should be humble, but you know what I'm saying. Why would He be talking to us about this? Why would He be talking to us about don't be seeking men's approval or glory and praise from men? Because they will try to do that because of what He's going to do in us and through us, right? So we'll shout later. He goes on and he says, and yet do not seek the praise and honor and glory which come from Him which alone is God. Put out of your minds the thought, and do not suppose, as some of you are supposing, that I will accuse you before the Father. And I want to stop on that. I believe it's 44. Yeah. Because I need to get on to, I think I want to go over to John 7. And let me say this. This came up to me this week. I have been reminded this week of stuff. We've been here a long time. 24 years. January was 24 years. So we've seen a lot, haven't we, Sandy? And there's stuff me and Scotty have seen and dealt with that even she didn't know about, because you try not to get all that stuff going out in here. But anyway, I've been reminded of a lot of stuff this week about different people and different things. Now I forgot. Oh, yeah, I remember now. This came up this week. I heard the Holy Spirit. It's like I could hear a conversation of people, and I have done it myself. Scotty he'd call you on the phone and just start blabbing. Just blabbing, blabbing, blabbing. He don't care what you're doing, nothing else. But somehow or another, he heard it through a message or Holy Ghost, but I don't know, he could tell you. But anyway, he started working on himself. When I call somebody, I'm going to say, are you busy? How many knows that's maturity and humility? Because babies don't give a rip what you're doing. You need to hear me. Right? So we need to work on that ourselves. But my point to saying all that is, how many knows, you got to work on stuff. I got to work on stuff. You don't just do it one time and it's just in you. Just like him, he had to on purpose do that for a while, and then now it's become automatic. And I believe now Travis tries to do some of that too, and I try to or whatever too. But anyway, say you've been praying for somebody. Don't nobody but you and God. And if He leads you, the person you're praying for need to know anything about that. Anything other than that, you're seeking your own glory. Right? Because if not, why would they need to know? Why do I need everybody to know who I'm praying for and what I'm praying and all of that? Really, do they need to? Am I trying to bless them somehow? No. I want you to know. So if any of it happens, you'll know, Sandy, I prayed it down. Oh, y'all, come on now. You going to help me or not? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I've done this. But I'm not going to do it no more, Johnny. I'm seeking my own. The Bible says a man that speaks of his own seeks his own glory. And the Holy Ghost will not magnify and glorify that. Say somebody comes to church and they get saved. And I've heard people say it before. I brought them here. I prayed them in. They're here. They're got saved because of me. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? What about Jesus that bled and died for them and was raised again? What about the blood that made it possible for them to even come to this altar and be forgiven? And you want to say you had something to do with it? It was all you that did it? What about the Holy Ghost? He said, if you bid him, you ask him, I'll do the drawing. The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. Did you draw him? Did I draw them? Then why would I insert that I had anything other than inviting somebody to do with their salvation? Sandy prayed for us for years. Bless her heart, we about wore her down. But she kept on. And Johnny, I believe she was inspired by the Holy Ghost to pray for us. See, the Bible says if you did anything that was of any significance, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, me and you, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. So how can I take a lick of credit for anything that I have ever prayed that he ever done? All I was a willing vessel that heard, most time accidentally, that heard him say something and then begin to pray it. And then if it ever happened, anything, the Holy Ghost is the one that brought that to pass. But see, a lot of times, you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And I believe that's what the Lord is showing some of us this morning, including myself. You've been sincere in what you've done. Your motive was right, but you just run about it the wrong way. And the way you're going about it, I can't glorify, magnify, and move in that the way I want to because it's all about you. If you ever give a testimony, if the Lord ever does anything for me or you, and you give a testimony and somebody comes away from that and their thinking is, man, I wished I could have faith like Brother Scotty. You left them with that because you didn't say enough about him. I'm just saying an example. Me, you, whatever. Somebody give a testimony and they think, I wished I had the faith of Johnny or Teresa or whatever, you know. See, somehow or another, the testimony wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he done. The focus was on your faith. Well, where'd you get it? Why was he not mentioned? Why was the word that you heard when faith came not even mentioned? But the focus to that person was on you, you, you. I was reminded, Preston will probably remember this too. They was working together at the time. I can't remember if that guy's name was Teddy Taylor or Naylor, whatever it was. Oh, you know, Preston, he had been saved longer than Scotty. But anyway, they're just on fire for the Lord, you know, and they work together. So they read the Bible at work, and they talk about the, you know how baby Christians do, and people that are on fire, they just talk about the Lord, talk about the Lord, talk about the Lord. Well, they get to this one contractor or whatever, and y'all are talking to him about the Lord, ain't you? Supposed to be. But he said, what is it? He speaks up, and he says, I hear a lot of I or something. Said he hears a lot of I. I done this. I'm going to do this. I know this. I have this. I thought we were supposed to be talking about the Lord. Be careful any time I is involved in something. And what was it he told y'all? Yeah. See, their motive wasn't wrong. They didn't mean that in their hearts. But how many knows? We have to make sure that the words coming out of our mouth are glorifying and magnifying him and not ourselves, because the devil's tricky. And my flesh likes glory. But we're not going to do it, right? We're not going to take none. Because when he starts, we don't want him to stop. I just got just a few minutes left here. So I don't even know how to pray as I ought to. So if I'm going to be effective in my prayer life, I got to spend time with him, hearing, and not just grabbing me a bunch of scripture and just running out there, just blabbing everything, and then nothing comes to pass. Because he has a will, and the Holy Ghost will only do his will. Right? So in my prayer time, I don't need to be... Listen, you're talking to somebody that knows everything about everything, and fellowship is not a one-way street. Sometimes you should shut up. I should too. Why? I'm talking to the one that knows everything. And if I listen, he'll give me orders from headquarters. And I just go about doing my best to carry them out with the leadership of the Holy. And bam, whatever it was he wanted to do will be done. And he will be magnified and glorified, right? So here in John 7, I think it is. Let me make sure I want to read this because I may need to go on to the next one because I only got a couple of minutes left. Well, that 18 is the very verse that I just quoted, so we won't read this one. Y'all can write this down and go back and study it for yourself. Because 18 says, he that speaks of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, let me read John 16, I think it is here, before we have to close. John 16, and I'm going to start reading in verse 5. He says, but now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, evangelist for you, advantages for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, we know he's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And when he comes, notice what he says. He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and righteousness. Let me skip on down because time's sake. Skip on down to verse 12. Yeah. He says, I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all what? The truth, the whole full truth. For he will not what? Speak of his own message. The Holy Ghost himself does not even speak of himself. I got to stop because my time is up. You can go on and read that. He only takes what of Jesus and reveals it to me and you. He never, ever, you can try to get him to talk about himself, and he will not do it. He will only glorify and magnify Jesus. Jesus only glorified and magnified the Father, and they are not jealous of one another. Right? So we need to make sure that we are glorifying and magnifying him, and that we're spending time with him, and we hear him and do whatever he says. Because y'all remember how the water got turned into wine? She come and told him, whatever he says to you, just do it. I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like?